As we've been reporting this week, it's been 30 years since the Tutsi genocide in Rwanda. During 100 days of slaughter, the rival Hutu tribe murdered around 1 million people and displaced many more. And in the three decades since, the country has made a remarkable economic recovery. After the genocide, women made up 70% of Rwanda's population, so they're driving that recovery. In fact, the country boasts the highest percentage of women in parliament in the world. Amy Niria, the reports from Kigali.
In Rwanda, there is no challenge that can face us because we are women, but there is advantages.
Grace Matoni owns her own small fashion brand in Kigali. She's a survivor of the 1994 genocide against the Tutsis.
I think the challenge in my business doesn't come because I'm a female, no. It does come because it's business. There are a lot of challenges. I'm so grateful to be in this country with many opportunities. We have so many organizations that help us to increase our knowledge and our financial capacity.
30 years ago, a woman in Grace's position wouldn't have even been able to access a bank account. But after the events of 94, when it was mostly young girls left as head of the household, the government saw an opportunity to create a more gender-equal society. At the forefront of these changes was multiple women's organisations.
Yes, we can start.
Dr. Godlieve Mukasarasi is sitting alongside a translator outside her home with a cup of coffee after having been awarded a Social Protector Award by the President in a special ceremony just hours before. In the aftermath of the genocide, Godlieve founded Savota, an organisation which supports women, in particular those who were victims of gender-based violence during the 100 days of slaughter, as well as children who were born as a product of rape.
In Rwanda, we account between 250,000 and 500,000 of women, raped women during the genocide, but Savota works directly with 502 women who has the children born from the rape. They show their healing through different activities, development activities, also they do like the farming to improve their livelihood. They have now the accounts in the bank. They have worked hard. Now they can support themselves, but also have something to keep in the bank account.
Women make up 61% of the Rwandan parliament, opening the door for pro-women legislation. Before the genocide, convicted perpetrators of rape were handed down a penalty equal to that of those convicted of theft. The offence now comes with a sentence of 10 years to life imprisonment. Other changes allow for equality within the home itself.
Before, the woman has not access to inherit in her family or in the husband family. Once before, the land owner was only the man, but actually they share 50-50.
Richard Newfarmer is country director for Rwanda and Uganda with the International Growth Centre, which analyses economic problems and proposes solutions. He says the government's stance on women's health and pro-poor policies have helped with the country's annual 8% growth rate.
In 2000, infant mortality was about 123 per 1,000 live births. Now it's down to on the order of 29 or 30. So, and that's kind of indicative not only of the child's health, but mother health as well. The government has been extraordinarily committed to development. That takes the form of trying to involve people in low-income savings programs, for example, or think about the one computer per child program that they set up.
The government's first focus after the genocide was access to education, with schools reopening just 2 months after the Rwandan Patriotic Front captured Kigali and overthrew the Hutu government. According to Dr. Godlieve Mukasarasi, that legacy continues today.
About the youth, those children born from the rape, we have now 30 young people who has been supported by the government to continue the study in the university. Now they have finished their degree.
And that report from Amy Niria in Kigali.